Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Well, look, it's all kicked off, hasn't it? Hello! Well, a happy Friday to you. Thank you so much. So many people have been in touch, and it's really lovely. And we'll have a roundup of your ideas for theme parks. This is based on Wednesday's episode, learning that World of Jumanji, probably the most successful and popular film franchise of all time, is coming to Chessington. But we've got some really great stuff for you coming up. We've got a game that I'm so excited about. I spent about 6 hours yesterday doing all of the jingles and imaging and stuff for it. Perhaps not as much time really thrashing out the format, but it works. And we've got a player, Joe, who's going to play Celebrity Soup of the Day in due course. But I'm going to jump straight in because we've got the return of a much-loved member of the Not Today Thank You family. And, well, it's his favourite jingle. And, well, look, this is pre-recorded, and we just sort of started, so here it is. And I got to warn you, it's a little bit sweary, so you might want to skip on, I don't know, maybe 10 minutes or something.
Every day the papers pump out endless streams of hate. The fifth column's propaganda they will propagate. But who can bear the trading ramparts of the fourth estate? Mick Wright, a.k.a. Broken Bottle Boy. Mick Wright, a.k.a. Broken Bottle Boy.
I just realised I'm dressed as Dapper Laughs Apology.
Yeah, that's the look. I think it's a brown jacket. Was it a brown jacket you need? Have you got a brown jacket?
No, but he did have he wore a black polo neck for on the news on Newsnight. That was the classic. That's the classic Dapper Laughs wear.
I love that we've just jumped in. I haven't spoken to you since the last time we did one of these recordings. And we're straight in and with Dapper Laughs, and I kinda want to ask you, what did you make of that?
It was Yeah, let's talk real topical.
I think it's worth going back over.
A man who was Zoo magazine made flesh. What do I think about that? It was very bad PR advising by people for him to even go on Newsnight, like to face the mateless. I don't know. Yeah, I mean.
Here's the
thing. It disappoints me about humanity that so many people liked what he did. And he's still out there in the sewers of the internet, you know, producing whatever, what seems to be comedy, but there you go.
With the caveat that I haven't seen anything he's done at all in the last however long since Mateless.
Why are I we talking say, about Dapper Laughs?
Well, because you dressed like him. You're the one paying the homage.
That's true.
I sort of see you as a kind of Dapper Laughs with A levels. That's really you, isn't it? So, what I was taken by was that clip.
It's good
to see you again.
Sorry, you haven't done your Davina thing with me.
No, don't worry about it. Because
you're live on Big Brother. Please do not swear.
Previously, this was live. Now it's not. And now I see for good reason. I was struck by the clip that everyone was so outraged by, and it was not good, where he's playing a crowd. It's a very rowdy crowd, and someone shouts something about, "Go, you raper," or something. And you see the split second on his face, and then he goes, "Oh, yeah, right, yeah, I rape anyone, rape, 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 right?" Now, I'm not saying that's okay. Do you remember the Bill Hicks routine where he talks about his mum and dad coming to see him and they say, why'd you have to use all the cuss words, son? You know, we didn't... Bob Hope, he don't use all the cuss words. And Bill Hicks says...
Bob Hope doesn't play the shitholes that I play.
Exactly. And I feel like I haven't done much stand-up, but I've done enough to know that there are nights where you are faced with a crowd that is actually quite frightening. You know, you get the stag doos in, there's this mob mentality. Someone shouts something like that. What can he do? He can't stand there and say, guys, this is not cool.
But you see, the issue, though, is it's not just that moment. It's his material generally was like deeply, deeply misogynist, right?
Right.
And had been for a long time, right? And so there's this undercurrent of like deeply unpleasant misogyny in the stuff he was producing. That's why you get that audience, right?
Right.
That's why you get that audience. And it's a sort of a bit like I've been thinking about.
He sort of laid the path for that to happen, is what you're saying.
I've been thinking about it this past week, the whole notion of language you shouldn't say. So like, you know, Suella Braverman uses the word invasion, right, which is horrendous. Yeah. And then people get very focused on the fact she's used that horrendous language. But what is behind that horrendous language is horrendous mentality and horrendous action, right? Yeah. And in that, Dapper Laughs wasn't Suella Braverman, but like...
Which was worse?
which is worse?
A new game.
Fight, fight, fight. There we go. Yeah. Put them in a cage, let them go at it with lump hammers. This is the kind of TV format I would.
And then we become the worst, Mick. We become.
I already am the worst, and I'm sort of fine with that. That's another thing I was thinking this week. Is my greatest superpower is that everything that anyone ever says about me, I've thought about myself, but like 100 times worse. So it's almost. So, like, you know, people criticize you, you think, oh, yeah, no, I am actually that, but I'm much worse than that. I'm much worse than they think I am.
Is there a sort of tip of the iceberg effect in terms of what you actually display publicly?
Possibly, yeah. I'm one of history's greatest monsters.
That's definitely the case for me. Yeah. I mean, you know, that I think there's a lot of people, you know, horrific. I'm saying this. I'm not saying, oh God, no, I can't.
I think
there's a lot of people.
You're wearing a big pink thing with unicorns on it.
Yeah.
And I'm just wearing all black, projecting, you know, my essential hatred of everything.
I'm saying, I think there's a lot of us who feel that should our WhatsApp chats get published publicly, maybe we'd all be going down in flames.
I can honestly say that my WhatsApp chat, well, this is partly because I have no friends, that my WhatsApp chats could be published in full in a national newspaper and there is nothing in them.
Mine too. Same. 100%.
Yeah.
Yeah.
100%. I'm not friends with John Holmes though, am I? So
that's the one. That's the one.
Well, I'm Twitter friends with John Holmes and I have to say, the latest episode of
The Skewer
is the BBC 100 Years BBC edition is beyond amazing. It's so good. Anyway,
okay, that's good.
Just being nice about something, you know.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, and I don't see him as a sort of failed rock star who ended up being a DJ because he couldn't be a rock star, and then when that didn't really work out, decided to just hack about bits of news actuality to Pink Floyd tunes. Yeah, no, it's cool. He's cool. He's great. And I'm happy to let him have that. And I'm glad he's won tons of awards for other people's work. So, Suella
what's
Braverman,
really good about this podcast so far is that it's hugely topical and just axe grinding for you.
And with a warmth, a humanity, I think that, you know, it's great to finally refreshingly enjoy. So Suella Braverman and all of that. Anything else been drip feeding your bile duct this week?
I don't understand how this is going to be even vaguely listenable. So if you are listening to this, well done. Congratulations.
It's a Seven Giants thing. It's how far can you go?
Yeah. Two men burbling at each other in a kind of...
Just send us the time code of when you opted out.
Yeah, when did you leave?
Yeah.
Other things that have been bothering... Well, I was very het up and bothered about a particular... a column in the Times written by a guy who's only just turned 30, which was about the noughties. We've now reached that point where, you know, national newspapers can incorrectly talk about periods of history that, you know, we very much were alive during. Now, obviously, I guess that's happened a lot for people who, you know, were alive in the 70s. But I guess a rite of passage. He described it as a period of bland affluence where politicians were uncontroversial and and managerial. It's really interesting to me that decade, which, you know, began with 9/11 and was a decade of paranoia, fear, both real and created by political power in order to achieve what it wanted to achieve. Really great. I remember the noughties fondly as a really relaxed time.
It was so bland. I loved the blandness of it. Yeah, we had a great time.
Yeah, I remember it being very bland when I was on... when I was in London during the second set of those bombings, the unsuccessful sequel to the 7/7 bombings.
Yeah. I mean, you could level a lot of things, you could call steps a lot of things, but never bland.
It was also interesting, like from a cultural perspective, like in this column, is a James Marriott column in the Times. He talks about The Office and Peep Show are two of the TV programs he talks about specifically. And the thing I think is kind of interesting is The Office to me is a 90s is a vision of the 90s that sort of happens in the 2000s, because when you look at you look at that, and the slough of The Office is essentially like it's barely reached the 90s,
right?
Let alone, you know, like they say the 60s sort of was unevenly distributed, it didn't reach certain parts of the country when it reached others. You watch that and it's like it went out in the very start of the noughties, and the notion that it represents anything about that decade is really interesting to me. And in the same way, Peep Show wasn't successful for its first few series. It wasn't like a cultural zeitgeist. It was this kind of weird little show on Channel 4 that eventually gets successful. So it's these kind of, even that stuff is frustrating to me, because this weird retrospective thinking that doesn't actually work, you know?
Yeah. I think that so often when you watch a period drama, and maybe it's like, or it's set like, as you say, in the 80s, and, you know, you see homes that have been set dressed with 80s style duvet covers and curtains and all the rest of it, and you think, no, that's not what houses looked like in the 80s. They looked like houses from the 70s, because people don't immediately go, oh, 1980, time to redecorate the house. People don't do it, you know. It takes at least a decade for that to happen, so you always get that kind of layover. You're talking about noughties TV. I should point people to there's an article on Vice about it's a I think it's an oral history of Nuts TV,
which were involved in.
Yeah, I was.
Some involvement in that.
Yeah,
present
yeah.
but not involved.
I honestly was just obeying orders, and you know. It's
Nuts
got extracts
TV,
from my
a
diary
warning from history.
Yeah, pretty much.
Because the other thing I want to talk about that noughties TV thing is also he mentions Big Brother as well, and I think Big Brother's interesting because it's like this. It's this format created in the 90s, in late 90s in Holland, and then it starts again. It goes back to what you just said about people not being in the noughties immediately. You know, the first series of Big Brother runs in July 2000,
right?
Like, and I think about Big Brother as like this pre 9/11 artifact, almost. Like it runs afterwards, but that first edition of Big Brother is like is very different to the ones that come later. And again, I know this guy's only writing a 900 word column, but I almost think the problem with that is the hubris of thinking you can write about a whole decade that you were only seven, you know, yeah, at the start of. The reason this guy thinks it is a period of not that much happened, it was quite, it was a lot more relaxed and whatever, is because they were, that was his CBeebies era.
Yes.
So of course it is to him, you know.
Yeah. And also I think it's very interesting language to describe it as a sort of a bland era and stuff. To me that screams of quite a male perspective.
Because yeah,
I think,
and a very white perspective as well.
Yeah.
And a sort of very middle class perspective. Because he also says stuff about, you know, the culture war was at a kind of low flame during that period. Well, it certainly wasn't if you were working class, Muslim, young, even like teenagers were there was a sort of war on young people by the Blair government.
Yeah.
It's really fat. But I guess it's a sort of curse that will come to you. Whatever your age, eventually you're going to see the era when you were young written about in a way. It's like what's his face, Dominic?
I mean, name a good Dominic.
I hate when I can't remember names.
Littlewood, Rob. I mean, come on. There's nothing.
He's the he's a historian. Dominic Sambrook, right? So Dominic Sambrook writes all these books about the 60s and 70s that people who were alive in the 60s and 70s go, well, this is complete horseshit, you know. And again, it comes back to what you say about the notion of what people are consuming or thinking or doing, like that idea that the 60s is just like the Beatles happened, boom, everything's changed, it's now, that's it, like,
yeah.
Like every Friday afternoon, I go and see my gran and granddad, and my gran is 90, my gran is 91. And I've talked to her about the 60s, and she was living in London in the 60s, but she was a housewife with a child. And
right.
So, like, her 60s were basically the 50s.
Yeah.
Like, functionally, it didn't really change that much, apart from, like, the access to certain consumer goods and the food changed a bit.
Yes.
But that's it. And so the notion of, like, you know, pop, yeah, she doesn't re-engage with pop music till ABBA, who she quite likes. But the pop music of the 60s is like, whatever. Like, didn't even meant nothing to her. And there are millions of people like that.
Absolutely. I mean, I think, you know, people talk about the 70s and talk about glam rock and stuff. And from what I remember of the 70s is basically the smell of dog, bleach, cigarette ash, BO, and chip fat. What's your favourite Steps song?
Well, let's see. Their version of Tragedy, decent, quite fun to do the dance to.
Can you do the dance?
Tragedy. I can, but I refuse.
It's Tragedy.
Yeah, I used to work in youth clubs. I could do that dance. I'm not going to.
Why don't you work in youth clubs anymore, Mick?
Because I'm a 38-year-old man. Okay. And there are no youth clubs anymore.
Oh, yeah, they are shut. Yeah.
Oh, this is just me thinking of that. Welcome to Mick Thinks of Things and then just says them.
I'm not going to do a new jingle for that.
I was listening to Times Radio this morning, which is something I do to sort of punish myself.
Wow.
And a presenter just went, oh, yeah, remember youth clubs? Whatever happened to them? Just a sort of like, and I was like, I didn't tweet about it because I wanted to, but I was like, what happened to them is relentless government cuts.
Yeah.
They were shut down. So it's like, oh, well, you know, the problem is there aren't youth clubs anymore. And you go,
that's amazing, isn't it? Yeah.
It's just a little side
thing. It was Cameron,
things.
Wasn't it? I remember it was Cameron did that. It was his whole big society idea, wasn't it? He's just stopped
brutally,
all funding.
Brutally, just slashed those. In the same way that they're slashing libraries, going, well, nobody needs libraries. Nobody wants libraries anymore. It's because you progressively make the libraries shitter until people don't go to them. And then you go, oh, well, nobody wanted these anyway.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing that they're going to do to the health service. Hey, lovely, fun jokes. You love getting me on here, don't you, for all the jokes.
It's just feel-good stuff. Yeah. And, you know, I always maintain, you know, without the libraries, where do all the weird people go, you know?
I just stay at home now. Be weird at home.
Well, you know, it's been wonderful to look in to your world, Mick.
Frick.
I've missed you too. Should we, maybe next week, are you around?
Yes.
Well, let's do that then.
I mean, this counts as socializing to me.
Big time. Well, I get a government grant to talk to you, so it's an outreach.
enfeebled,
disenfranchised. So it's brokenbottleboy.substack.com. Is that right?
It is. And the most recent newsletter is breaking down two columns about immigration from the Sun. So that'll be enjoyable for you. But it is a good way of looking at how lies are constructed and how demonization happens and stuff like that. Basically, if you have a deranged member of family or someone that you, a vestigial friend who believes things they read in the Sun or any tabloid, share that with them, because it might make them see. Probably not.
Brokenbottleboy.substack.com. It's free if you want, and then you can pay if you want afterwards. I do. And I've only occasionally regretted it.
When have you regretted it?
I haven't.
How can it end on that?
Only when I'm literally overdrawn and I've got no money, like now. That's
well,
fine.
It's cheap, you know. Yeah. You know, like the landlords say, stop. Drinking coffee or having fun or interacting with other humans.
Stop metabolizing food so much. Come on, guys.
Mick Wright, aka Broken Bottle Boy. Mick Wright, aka Broken Bottle Boy.
Okay, let's move on. It's time for us to play a new game. I'm so excited about this game. It's called Let's meet today's contestants. It's Joe. Hello, Joe.
Hi, Jake.
Now,
how are you?
I'm okay. You've got COVID.
Yeah, I have got COVID, and I'm very, very bored.
Okay. Well, you sound like you're on the sort of the outer arm of the COVIDness.
Yes, I am. Yeah, I'm still testing positive. I still got a cough, but otherwise, I'm absolutely fine now. Thank you.
Is it just flu-y? Because every time I say to someone, "What's it like?" because I haven't had it, they go, "Oh, it's not very nice." I'm like, "Okay, that's not helpful." I don't, you know what?
Yeah, it is flu-y. It's kind of like I had sweats and shakes and everything, and everything, every little bit, even my eyelids really, really ached. And yeah, it's fine, but I've been testing positive for 10 days now, and I want to get back to work. I'm bored. Oh my God, I'm so bored.
It's boring, isn't it?
I've crushed so much candy, you know?
What do you do for work? What's your job?
So I'm a researcher.
Was that your eyelids aching? What was that?
No, well, I work for an organisation that everybody hates, so I kind of don't really want to say.
Sure. But, is it the Orphan Murdering Association?
No.
It's terrible.
No, not that one.
Oh, okay.
No, another one. I'm a researcher, so.
Are you a researcher?
Yeah. I get it.
Listen. Yeah. Someone has to skin those beagles. Am I right?
Yeah.
Exactly. They're not going to skin themselves.
I know. I enjoy it. I need to get back to it quick.
Yeah, I can understand. Once you were really into that, you'd really, you'd miss it when you weren't doing it.
I know. I really do. It's surprising. I thought I'd hate it, but no, it's amazing what fun you can find if you look.
Yeah. Listen, the point is that's just sort of a launch pad, really. You'll move on to pensioners. Any day now. So look, we're going to play.
I might already have done.
We're going to play this game. It's a new game. It's called Celebrity Soup of the Day, and I don't know if it's going to work. You are ironic, really. You're our guinea pig.
Okay.
How the tables have turned. So, what we need to find out. So the way the game works is we're going to. In a virtual way, go to a venue somewhere in the UK, and you have to try and guess what the soup of the day is. And then we'll come on to what the steaks are in due course. But I don't mean the steaks, I mean STAKE. So,
yeah, no steak here.
Yeah, well, I do love a Labrador steak. Anyway.
Sorry.
No, that's right, it sounded like you had one. So let's find out where we're going today.
Okay, excited.
And it's the Rose and Crown in Rittle, Chelmsford. in Essex. It's a nice looking sort of, is it Tudor, is it faux Tudor? I don't know. It's an independently run family pub, and it's been serving Riddle for the last 15 years. I don't know, maybe it's a new build. It's very authentic. They've got a nice looking menu, very traditional fish and chips. I see some sliced up, it could be Labrador, hard to tell, over some roast potatoes. But the question really is, what is the soup of the day? So let's have your guess.
Faites vos jeux.
Is this a soup?
Yeah, just a soup. What's their soup of the day? I called them this morning. I asked them what their soup of the day is.
Okay, so it's going to be leek and potato.
Leek and potato. Okay. Mm. Now, here's the thing. Your guess is leek and potato, but now you need to think about how confident you feel about that. And you need to decide on what celebrity you'd be prepared to gamble based on your guess. So, say you were really confident, you know, you might gamble Beyonce or George Clooney, something like that. Okay. If you perhaps weren't so confident, and you know you wanted it to be a celebrity loss that you could handle, you might go for, I don't want to be cruel, but I'd say someone like Martin Roberts off Holmes Under the Hammer. You know, someone that you could afford to lose. You know, that you wouldn't mind losing quite so much. So, how confident are you about your leek and potato?
I'm Noel Edmonds.
Noel Edmonds, that's what you're going to. Okay. That's good. Well, look, he's a great extoller of the powers of positive thinking. And the question is really, what would you do, Joe, if you won? If you won Noel Edmonds, what would you do with him?
Oh, my God. Should I admit that I once had a crush on him? I don't really know why. I think I was a bit poorly at the time, but...
COVID does weird things to people. When did you have a crush on Noel Edmonds?
When he was with Mr. Blobby, whenever that was, several years ago.
Okay. Was that just because Mr. Blobby, kind of as a wingman, made Noel Edmonds look quite good?
I think so, yeah. It made him look really cute. Oh, I like this man.
I mean, those beautiful feathered highlights. I mean, what was not to love? And those glittering eyes.
He came into our department at work one day.
What does he do to beagles? What a scoop.
He was at the front and I'm like, oh, I'm so excited. I thought I got to go and see him. But my manager wouldn't let me out.
I'm sorry. Well, look, this could be the moment.
Anyway, we're going off topic here.
This could be the moment when you get to... You actually win him secure. You can have Noel Edmonds in the comfort of your own home. Okay.
Ne va plus.
It's now time for us to find out what is the soup of the day at the Rose and Crown in Riddle.
Okay, what is it? Exciting.
It's broccoli and Stilton.
Oh, Lord.
Ah, that is a shame. That is a shame. I'm sorry.
Okay, so I've lost Noel.
Yet again, Noel Edmonds evades your clutches. I'm so sorry.
God, but can I cry now?
Yeah, no. I think you should do that privately on the toilet afterwards. I would like to cry alone. You know, like drinking. So, Joe, I'm sorry you didn't win, but I do wish you a speedy recovery. 10 days it feels like a long time.
Oh my God, it is. Thank you very much. And I hope you feel better soon too.
Thank you. I'm fine. Did you hear someone's been testing positive for 410 days or something?
No.
Yeah, it was in the news today. So, yeah. I'm just saying,
no.
You've got quite a long way to go. Oh, God, this is the worst phone call ever. I'm sorry. It's going to be fine. You're going to be fine. Noel Edmonds, the power of positive thinking.
Okay, even though I lost him.
Joe, thank you for playing. I wish you a speedy recovery and that you get back to skinning beagles or whatever it is you do. As soon as possible.
Thank you very much. Thank you. You take care.
Gutting. Thanks, Joe, for playing. We'll have another round of that, I don't know, at some point next week, shall we? Neil has been in touch on the emails. Not that Neil, the other Neil. I know, everyone's back. It's nice to have you here. Ahoy, Jake. Great to hear the return of NTTY. Nutty? Is that what we call it? Today, I hope all is well with you. Coincidentally, I'd recently been re-listening to some of the earlier Not Todays from before the event. Doesn't time fly when you're existentially terrified, eh? Yeah, it just flies by. He says, a while back, you kindly plugged my films of Walking in the Lake District, which I've been able to continue over the intervening years. Oh my God, years. Yeah, you can go and check them out. It's youtube.com/@Lake District Films, or maybe it's just Lake District. I don't know. Anyway, Lake District Films, and the invitation to come along sometime, maybe next year, now it still stands. Let me know. I want to do that. I'd be all over that. All the best, as ever, to you and the Yaplistas. That's his word, not mine. We've had some other things. Pablo says, how do to you, Jake, and all of the Yaptastics. Glad to have the podcast back. Please carry on. In fact, he's got remarks he's made about theme parks that came in on the WhatsApp. I will dig that out. Don't forget.
You can WhatsApp Jake, yeah, on 07862-032-654.
And here's Pablo's voice message about theme parks. I can't hook up my phone. I'll figure it out. Still bedding in.
How do Jake and the Apostles, not your word. I know Pablo here. Just in regards to a theme park in the UK based on an existing TV or movie franchise. I was trying to think of something funny, but in reality, it's staring us in the face. Beano Town doesn't have to be in Dundee, could be anywhere in the UK, but you could pop in for a cow pie at Aunt Aggie's, go to school at Bash Street, or I don't know, beat up some softies with Dennis. Either way, not only is it promoting great British values, but I'm sure the Tories would love it. Anywho, toodaloo.
Toodaloo, Pablo. Thank you very much for that. Sorry for bonking the microphone there. I feel like that exists, doesn't it? Isn't it at Alton Towers or something? That's a thing. I always found the Beano a bit problematic. I kind of identified with Walter, if I'm honest. And so, yeah, I'm nixing that one. But you're right. Great British values and all that. Neil. Yes, that Neil says, hi, Jake. It's Neil. No blue tick. Oh, yes. Melon Musk. There's a new thing. Oh, yeah. The email's coming out today, isn't it? All workers. You either get an email to your work account if you work at Twitter saying, yes, you still have a job. Or you get an email to your personal account saying, no, you don't have a job. If only there was some, I don't know, very, very concise platform on which you could just leave a little message saying, at you, you're fired. Anyway, Neil says, with regards to suggestions for theme parks, I think the cheapest options would be for celebrities and not franchises. Yes. World of Jumanji. Who wouldn't want to visit the Hugh Bonneville Model Village in Catford? I can't imagine Hugh Bonneville lasting more than, I don't know, 17 seconds in Catford. See the Spinning Jenny at the Burt Kwok Museum of the Industrial Revolution in Widnes. Or stare longingly into Joanna Lumley's Gorge. All right. Or maybe buy some fudge from the Village of Village People, solely populated by policemen, cowboys and Native American chiefs. By the way, I've had 2,500 Idi Amin cat scratch trees to shift, if you can help. Yes, this was the news story about the guy who got dog toys made of Liz Truss. And then she resigned. Any dictatorial fun pet novelties? Any suggestions for that? Sounds good to me. Neil says mine is the perfect home for your feline pals to romp around and relax with its plush-covered surfaces and artistic depictions of the military, dictator, and brutal despot. Nearly said desktop. I don't know why I did that. A random email from James. Hi, James. I hope you're keeping well under all the circumstances. I got a cold. Fine. Great to hear you back on the pod. I've also been meaning to email Cousin Davey, but my goodness, life is just 110% full at the moment. And thanks for the heads up that you've been doing the comedy club. Yes! I think tonight's my last night. That's stupid, isn't it? I should have mentioned that before. He used to work there and play stuff out in 40F. That's an industry term. Jonathan says, great to hear the show again. I miss Amal Rajan. All the best, John Cohen. Yes, maybe we'll have some more Amal Rajan. There's this thing I want to tell you about. I can't tell you about it yet, but I'm going to tell you about it. And I think I might actually get to work with Amal Rajan. Actually, I'm honest. Can you imagine that? We've had some more people up for playing the game, which is great. Rick, maybe we'll get to you next time. David Alt. Yes, the mathsy one. He says, lovely to have you back in the pod feeds. Now I know Halloween's over, but what about a trip to the new theme park from a very successful franchise, One Foot in the Graveland? You simply won't believe it. Very good. Anyway, he says, you mentioned Hull in the last podcast. Yeah, they got their own fax telecom service. Believe it or not, the reason why it has its own service was thanks to a very forward-thinking corporation in 1902 who got a license to run a telephone service, like many other cities, but remained fiercely independent in 1914 and refused to be absorbed into the proto-BT. Very forward-thinking again in 1989, it became fully digital. Digital. Is there any other way of saying that word? Digital. Welcome to the digital era. It was the first in the UK, and since October 2019, it's brought full fibre broadband to every resident in the area. This does, however, mean that for a long time, BT has not provided any services to the city. And in the world of choice of ISPs, many don't even bother to offer new services there, as there are few residents to make it worthwhile switching, and very few would anyway. So Kingston Communications, or the snappier KCOM, has a monopoly on services there, and I know at least one person who's a bit cheesed off with that situation, but there's very little they can do about it. Now I should get going to my local Keeping Up Appearances park, or Waitrose, as it's more commonly known. Thank you very much for that, David. That's really interesting. I guess it's like the Sun and Liverpool, only not really. It's a very fatuous comparison to make. Look, I'm going to stop there because, well, I've got therapy in 10 minutes. Thank you very much for your company. It's fine. I really enjoy it. Have a great weekend. I'll be back, I think, on Monday, probably. In the meantime, it's at NotTodayPod on the Twitter, NotToday@Swanburst.com if you want to email, and just hurl a brick through my window. Bye!
This has been a Swanburst Media production.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.